Welcome to episode 101 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today we have an amazing show lined up for you, and by the end of it, you will know how and when to use the verb prove, understand the options available when you want to translate probar, become aware that a prueba is not a proof, and two little stories about medical tests and wine tasting. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of our podcast. Today, we are actually going to be looking at one particular verb that can be a little bit tricky for Spanish speakers. In this particular case, it's a verb that Spanish speakers are attracted to, again, a little bit from this sort of translation process. They identify the verb in Spanish and then they take it across to English, and the verb in English doesn't really work very well, or it works for something else. And so that's what we kind of want to sort out today. And it actually came about, well, we came up with this idea partly because of a session of Alistair's, and it was kind of, we thought we'd explore it and tell you all about it. And as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi, Alistair, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Daniel. How are you?
I'm fine. Yeah, so maybe you could just tell us that particular sentence that your client mentioned, and then I think it will be very sort of clear for our listeners to, well, certainly they'll get an idea about whether they would make that type of mistake, because they'll either say to themselves, well, I would say that sentence or not, and then we can kind of go into it a little bit more detail, right?
One of my clients who I know quite likes wine, and we sometimes discuss wine, and she was, can't remember exactly, I think she was recommending a new wine to me or something. So what she said was, she said, oh, last night I proved a new wine that you might like. And I was, proved? No, I don't think you proved it. She's like, yes, probar, no? And I said, well, yes, probar can be proved, but in this case, talking about wine, you would not say you proved the wine. And she was like, oh, so what would I say? I think she actually came up with it herself before I answered. She said, oh, is it? Would it be test? And this was interesting because this is also a pronunciation problem. So when she said, oh, no, I know what it is. It's test the wine or taste. I was like, sorry, what did you say? Repeat. And she was taste the wine. And she was somewhere in between two words. And I was like, are you saying you tested the wine? T-E-S-T. Or you tasted the wine, T-A-S-T-E. And she was like, well, it's the same, no? Or it sounds the same. I said, well, it does sound very similar. And the problem is, I think for Spanish speakers, it's difficult to differentiate when they hear the difference between test and taste, because they are very similar, and maybe even more difficult for them to actually produce the different sound. They say something, or at least this particular person, somewhere in the middle between the two. So I wasn't sure what she was saying. I said, well, if you're saying test, it's not correct, because that's another meaning of probar. If you're saying taste, the equivalent of a taste is un sabor, saborear, you could translate it. That's correct. Yes, you tasted the wine, but not tested the wine. And I think for her, it was actually quite difficult to hear the difference between the two. So there's two problems here, the actual word and the way you pronounce it. That could be confusing for people. But, I mean, but definitely not prove. That is totally not the case. We do not say prove the wine.
No, we don't say prove the wine, no. But it is that taste and test. Hopefully people can hear the difference there. I mean, it is one of the, it is, you know, these vowel sounds in English are very difficult, right? They can be extremely difficult. And when we say it, it's kind of like obvious to us whether it's test or taste. But for us, for other nationalities or other speakers of other languages, it's not so obvious, is it?
Especially quickly. So if we say it slowly, test and taste, we're emphasizing the difference. And I'm sure our listeners can hear it. But if you're just speaking naturally, so yesterday I tested the wine. And you say, which one did I say? Tasted or tested? I'm sure the majority of people couldn't detect the difference. Now, an English speaker, native speaker, either we hear it, or even if we don't hear it, we know which one it is, because we know which is the correct one with wine. So that's your brain just automatically sort of fills in the gap, if you like. No? So I know, even if I couldn't hear whether you said tasted or tested, I know you must have said tasted, because we don't say that you tested the wine. So you don't need to hear it, in fact, really.
That's true. That's true. I mean, it's a little bit of comes back to one of my theories, which is that if you're learning a foreign language, then one of the key skills to really get hold of and master is actually understanding from context, right? And in that particular case, like, it wouldn't really matter even if there was a mispronunciation, because I would just know from your sentence that you were saying taste. I mean, like, even if there was a slight difference of whatever it might be.
I could have a strange accent. I mean, there are millions of different accents in English. I'm sure there is an accent somewhere in Australia or New Zealand where they don't say test and taste. It sounds probably exactly the same. But you know which one they're saying from the... Well, it depends. But if you have a context like wine, then I know, even if it sounded like test, I know that's not what you're saying, because it can't be.
Exactly.
So I suppose your brain is able to do that sort of automatically, subconsciously, as a native speaker. Obviously, that's almost far more difficult when you're not a native speaker. It's sort of a sign that you have an incredible level if you're able to do that, in fact.
Absolutely. There, of course, you could say that she wanted, or she was trying a wine, is right? I don't know whether you mentioned that before.
I did. Yeah. I said could say taste, not test, or try. And she said, but try is intentar. I said, yes, it is. So try has two meanings. So you can try to do something. You know, I'm trying to go to the gym 3 times a week. Usually I don't manage it. I usually manage one or two, but I'm trying. Estoy intentando. But try also means probar, interestingly. Yeah. So, yes, I said to her, you could say, I tried a very nice wine last night, or I tasted a very nice wine. Both of them are okay with wine or food in general. You could taste food to see if it's okay, that you like it, or you can try. So if you're cooking in the kitchen, and you when you're cooking, you should, as a good chef or a good cook, you should be tasting or trying your food to see if it has enough salt or not, or it needs something adding to it. No?
Yeah.
So you can try food and you can taste food, but you can't prove or test food.
Yeah, and I think that's the point that we want to go back to, right? So we've got these different options. Your client wanted to say prove, but in the end, the better options are taste and try. Mm. But if we go back to prove, we have to kind of demonstrate why that particular verb to prove something is wrong, and what the meaning of prove actually is in English, right? And so that it's really important, because then people will kind of, hopefully it will be cemented in their mind a little bit more, because then once they know how prove is used in English, then they'll be kind of less tempted to use it, right?
Yeah, in the wrong context. Prove, what can... Well, actually, you used an interesting word just then. You said we need to demonstrate what it means, or when it's used. So prove is actually that, no? It's demonstrar. When you need to demonstrate something, that something is true or false, or maybe in a legal... It's often used mainly in legal situations. Not necessarily always legal, but... So, you know, the police need to prove that the criminal is guilty or not guilty. Or in a court of law, obviously what they're trying to do in a court of law is prove that you're guilty or not guilty or innocent. So trying to demonstrate something is true or not.
I have a little anecdote related to that, because I went to Portugal many years ago, and we were in a holiday house, and we were there for a few days, and then suddenly we went out one day and came back, and somebody had burgled the house and taken lots of stuff away, right, including a few laptops and everything else. And so we came back to Madrid, and then we spoke to our insurance company, and it seemed that our insurance company did cover us even on holiday, but at the same time they wanted proof that we had actually bought these things, right?
Of course.
So what they asked us to do was provide proof of not necessarily, let's say, the
receipt,
the tablet or whatever. And the receipts are kind of difficult to sometimes get, right?
If it's old, you've had it for a while, exactly. You don't tend to have the receipt.
And so what their requirement was in terms of proof that we actually had these things was a photo of the original box.
Did you have that? Because that's never occurred to me to take a photo.
What I actually did have was some of the boxes because I kept them down in my trastero.
Yeah.
Okay, so but now whenever I buy a new product or anything, if I'm going to throw the box away, I always take a photo of it.
No, I never thought of that. There's some great advice. Because it's true, if you do want to make an insurance claim, we say to claim on your insurance, then you need to provide some proof. Interesting. So you were using the noun proof with an F as opposed to prove with a V, which is the verb. So you had to prove that those objects, those belong to you, that you bought them, and you had to provide or give proof to the insurance company. Not proofs. This is another typical mistake. So proof in English is uncountable. All whatever you had to give them, whatever you had to provide, in this case photographs of the original box, all of it is your proof. So we don't tend to individualize it into separate proofs. So you had to prove it, and you had to provide proof with an F that you had bought these, purchased these items. It's a good advice. It's like evidence. So proof is evidence. Is another word you can use. Just like the police need to prove their case. When they take somebody to court, they've got to have proof or evidence. What's the expression? The burden of proof is a good expression.
Oh, really? I don't know that expression.
You don't know the burden of proof? Well, you're innocent until proven guilty. So the burden of proof is on the accuser, on the police, for example.
Oh, burden of proof.
What did you think I was saying?
I thought the bird, como pájaro.
Ah, bird. There you are. You see, even we can, misunderstand each other, two native speakers with pronunciation.
That's interesting.
The bird of proof. You go, what's a bird of proof? Is a kind of bird. Now, the burden. The burden on proof is on the police to prove you're guilty, not for you to prove you're innocent.
That's right.
So there you are. You have the exact. So prove is that. No, it's demonstrating something, whether it's providing proof for an insurance company to prove, in this case, that, that laptop belonged to you and you're not trying to steal money from the insurance company. No, it's a false claim, we would say. Or the police are trying to prove a case against a criminal.
In the way you got like the verb form and the noun form, right? To prove something or proof. Do you have any proof? Do you have any proof that you really had a laptop? Actually, I got a photo of the box.
I wouldn't, because it never occurred to me to do that. But thank you. Good advice. I'm going to do that.
No, that is really useful, actually. That is,
Because if you can't find the receipt, which often we lose them or we don't
keep
it.
How do you
prove it? It's quite difficult.
The other strange things with receipts, and this is a very good word, in fact, as well, receipt. We could go on and on.
Do a whole episode just on receipt and
but,
recipe.
But just to, just to talk about this quickly, is the whole idea that imagine that you're super organized and you keep all the receipts, okay? They're not tickets, they're receipts. Tickets, not good. Even if you keep all the receipts, the funny thing about receipts is they fade. Into nothing.
They do. They lose. You can't.
They lose. They go completely.
I used to keep my receipts. Yeah, completely disappear. They fade. Yeah. Good word. Fade is to gradually disappear. No, fading. Yeah. I used to keep my receipts for petrol when I was not. Now I work remotely, but when I was driving around all over the place, doing thousands of kilometers a year, going to companies to teach my classes. I used to keep my petrol receipts, my gas, as Americans would say, because obviously when you do your tax return, I've forgotten the Spanish word. How can I forget?
Tax return
I know the Spanish one. I can't remember the English, but suddenly
return.
It will come to me in a second.
Same for me. It's not coming to my brain.
I should know. I've done
Declaración de la renta.
Of course, la declaración. Usually I know declaración and I'm like, oh, how do you say that in English? suddenly my brain switched. Anyway, when you do your declaración or your tax return, I would claim from Hacienda, from the tax office, my petrol as a, to pay less tax, obviously. So, yeah, I'd, at the end of the year, the financial year, I'd sit down, it was a hell of, take out all these pieces of paper, hundreds and hundreds of them, and write them down by hand. So it was quite a job, actually.
Oh, wow,
very inefficient way of doing it, but, you know, I did it, you know, analog, not digital. Well, now I suppose I just go through my credit card, would be much quicker. But I physically just went through all the paper receipts, writing down the amounts and adding them up. But the problem was, as you said, the receipts I had from like the beginning of the year that were already, you know, whatever, 10, 11, 12 months old, like a lot of them I just couldn't read anymore.
Exactly.
You just couldn't see the numbers because they'd faded.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite incredible, isn't it? Quite incredible. So the even if you take one thing away from this episode is that when you buy something and you're going to throw away about the box, take a photo of the box.
Yeah, expensive items in particular, like, you know, computers, laptops, mobile phones, etc.
Yeah, those type of stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. So anyway, yeah, you have to prove things. So you do not prove wine. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Or food or clothes. Ah, coming with clothes, interestingly, I said before, or we said, to try also means to taste something like food or wine.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Now, you can also try clothes, but in fact, we don't say try. We say try on. Mm. So, probar ropa is a phrasal verb, to try on. So, you would try wine or try food, but try on a new pair of shoes or a pair of trousers or a shirt. Mm. So, just to make it even more complicated.
Yeah.
That's a very specific phrasal verb for probar ropa, not comida, no?
Yeah. Good. Okay. There is something else, though, isn't there? Which is kind of interesting. And while we were talking about this before we recorded, I kind of said, but there is another common mistake with proof. And it is often related to the idea of going to the hospital. And I've heard lots of my clients say this. It's kind of like something like along the lines of, I went to the hospital and I did a proof.
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah. Would that be the right sentence? Something like that?
Or the doctor sent me to the specialist to have some proofs.
Some proofs, even plural, which again is like a double mistake.
And again, you say, no, sorry.
No.
And that would be another word in English. This is the problem. You've got this one word in Spanish, probar or pruebas, and we've got various options in English, depending what you're talking about. What are you probando, no?
Yes.
So what would the word be for that, for a medical prueba?
Yeah. Now, I mean, I think for like a standard sort of medical situation, probably you have to go and have something like a blood test. And the key there is really in that second word, right? So pretty much always if you need some sort of prueba of some analysis, you probably would say sort of like you could even you wouldn't say a blood analysis in English, would you? You'd say a blood test. I went to do a blood test, or they're going to test me for this, or they're going to test me for that. So again, the whole idea of proof here is wrong, because we go back to the whole idea of evidence, maybe legal situation, you know, like the context of, you know, insurance companies, all that type of thing.
It's not that at all.
So in this case of a medical situation, really you have to go back to the idea of it's a test or some sort of,
It's like things you do in laboratory, like a chemist. So yeah, you're doing some kind of chemical or other kinds of test to discuss. I suppose test is where, well, you can use test for knowledge, you know, testing someone's knowledge. So an exam is a test. So I can give my clients, you know, a test of phrasal verbs or grammar tests. So, but it's similar really when you think about it, because it's like you don't, you know, your doctor suspects that you may have some kind of illness or condition and you need to go to the hospital to a specialist to do some tests. So the testing is to discover, is to find out, no? Averiguar.
Yeah.
So they're trying to find out, do you have this condition or you don't? So they need to do some tests. Now, with knowledge is the same. Like I'm trying to tell you, do you understand the present perfect or not? So I'm going to test you.
Yeah.
So basically, I need to know, do you know this thing? So you're trying to discover information, I suppose, no, with testing.
Yeah.
Whether that's knowledge, like English exams, for example, or medical tests. No, it's like we need to do certain things to find out, to discover if you have whatever it may be, the whatever condition, cancer or something. Or
sure.
So I suppose sure, that's sure, a sure. test. No, it's very particular.
It is. It is. But it is, and that it's incredible. It's a little bit like these types of words that come up, just like receipt and ticket. You know, these types of words keep on coming up, and if you can get the right one in your brain, it's like really, really useful. So always receipt, receipt, receipt. And when you're going to the hospital, it was always test, test, test. Yeah. Not to, you know. It's
and so, what is a so ticket? Easy. Just so that in English, when we say a ticket, it's not un ticket. So this is one of these things we've spoken about before in previous episodes, where for some reason, often we don't quite know why, an English word has come into Spanish from English, but used with a different meaning.
That's right.
So to an English speaker, a ticket is una entrada. No, it's a cinema ticket, theater ticket, concert ticket. It's not a receipt. But un ticket, que es un recibo, it's proof. A receipt is proof of payment, no?
Yes.
So to prove that you bought something, the shop will give you a receipt, not a ticket. Yeah. A ticket is, I've got a ticket to go and see, I don't know, the Rolling Stones next week. That's a ticket. Or to go to the cinema, no?
That's right.
So that's also, that's you know,
an important one, a really, really important one. So we wanted to kind of gonna give a few anecdotes related to these words, right? Just so that it kind of really sinks in. I think that's the really most important thing here. One thing that we came up in terms of medical tests was my recent sort of adventure, actually in...
adventure is a good
in,
word.
Yeah, I think it's a good... and my recent adventure in a Spanish ambulance, because over the years, I've actually had something which is a bit strange, which is that when I... from time to time, I can... But there's normally a reason for it. So, you know, it doesn't just happen for no reason. But when I hurt myself, so imagine I twist my ankle or I hurt my knee, I get some sort of reaction and then basically I can sort of faint quite easily, right? Yeah. And this is exactly what happened to me recently because I was rushing to take my son to school and I fell over and I fainted. And then I thought I could get my son to school, but in the end I couldn't and I fainted. And then then basically lots of people had to help me and I ended up in hospital. And they did a lot. Well, Alistair thought that they might have done quite a lot of tests on me. And they did do a few tests on me. In fact, they were very thorough, actually. They did lots of different things, lots of x-rays and all sorts of different stuff. Mm-hmm. And in the end, it came out that it is a síncope, right? Which is kind of mice. Yeah, which is kind of a Spanish word that I've just learned through the whole process. And so, yeah, that was my recent experience of going to hospital and them doing a lot of tests on me. Like, they didn't do any proofs. They did some tests.
Or tasting. Okay? I hope they didn't taste you. That wouldn't be very pleasant. So they didn't taste you. They didn't try you.
No.
They didn't prove you. They tested you. Well, tested. They gave you some tests. So they wanted to find out something. Why did this happen? What's wrong? So in order to discover that or try to discover that, try in this case, intentar, different meaning, they had to do some tests. So this is what tests are, isn't it? You need to know something. You're trying to find out information. Why? You know, what happened to you? You know, why did this happen? So
you had
some medical tests, no?
Yeah,
and they've discovered that you have this. What was it again? The
syncope. Which, of course, you know, when you faint in the street, like this kind of syncope is kind of like actually, thankfully, not too bad. I mean, as long as you keep it under control, do you know what I mean? Yeah. That you're not fainting all over the place. But
we should say faint is desmayarse, no, in Spanish, in case people don't know.
Desmayar.
You can say pass out, phrasal verb.
Yeah,
pass out. So you passed out in the street. So meaning fainted, So in this case, we use the word test and not taste and not prove.
It's the first time that I ever had a black eye, that one.
Oh, yes.
I had a black eye when I fell over and I like hit my head on the floor, on the ground. Actually, floor and ground, there's a differentiation there. It's technically probably would be ground rather
it's than external,
floor.
No, the floor is more in your house, I suppose.
That's right.
Is the difference.
That's right. It's the first time in my life that I've ever had a black eye. And it's
so you've not been fighting. Nobody's punched you in the face and you got a black eye.
Somebody did punch me in the face in my hometown, but that's another story.
Ah, well, for another day.
I'll tell you about that. Yeah.
But it didn't give you a black eye.
No, but it didn't give me a black eye.
It depends where they punch you, I suppose.
Yeah. It's true. But you did have a quick anecdote about wine tasting, right, Alistair?
Yeah. Ah, well, yes, this is good because also taste can also translate catar. So when you do a cata de vinos, this is a wine tasting. We use the gerund, a wine tasting.
Yeah.
Okay. So that translates the word cata, no? Wine tasting. So yeah, my wife, who had previously had no interest in wine, knew nothing about it, didn't particularly like it even, and drank very little, maybe a glass with dinner or Christmas or something like that. We then had a holiday, this is maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago, in La Rioja, obviously famous as a wine-growing region in Spain, most people will know. And we visited a bodega, which is a winery, and we did the typical visit to the winery where they show you around the winery and they explain the process of how they make the wine, etc., etc. And then you do a cata, a tasting at the end. A wine tasting. Yeah. And she thought this, she absolutely loved it. And she thought, wow, this is much more interesting than I'd ever imagined, the way you make the wine and the different kinds of wine. And so basically, she suddenly developed an interest in wine that she'd never previously had. Mm. We bought some of the wine, as you do, of course, at the end in the shop, took it home, and she started tasting the wine and going, oh, this is really interesting. And from that, shortly afterwards, she started drinking more wine and saying, I want to try more wines, different wines from different regions with different grapes. So suddenly she developed this sort of intellectual interest in wine and actually started enjoying drinking wine that she'd never really liked before. And she ended up doing a master's online, a year master's in enology, which is the study of wine, or wine making. And became a sort of expert. I mean, she's never worked in it and she's never used it, but she's developed this ability to be able to do wine tasting. She's incredible. So you can give her a bottle of wine and she doesn't know what it is. She doesn't know where it's from, what the grape is or anything. She can taste it, okay, do a tasting, and she can tell you in most cases exactly this is the grape, the wine is from this region, from the smell and from the taste.
Yeah.
So it's quite an incredible transformation.
It is.
In a short time.
I
mean, obviously, she's a person who naturally has a very good sense of taste and sense of smell. She didn't have that, then it would be impossible. Yeah. But she never used that talent, if you like, in terms of wine. And then suddenly she was using it and going, oh, wow. And so it's amazing. Sometimes you give her the bottle. Now, I read the label at the back, which gives you the description. She tastes the wine, she describes it, and it's word perfect. I mean, exactly what it says on the label of the wine. It's incredible. It's like a trick. It's like a magic trick. It's like a party trick. In fact, she has done it sometimes like a party trick to people. Right. Anyway, there you are. So wine tasting. No,
absolutely. Yeah, going back to that first sentence, right, which we were said right at the beginning of the episode, which was, I proved a new wine, right?
Yeah.
So, no, I tasted a new wine, and you can go on wine tasting. Yeah. That's what I still need to do, actually. I need to go on a wine tasting experience. Yeah. I haven't done that yet. And I mean,
you should do it, obviously, here in Spain. There's so many places you can go, not far away from Madrid, even in Madrid, in fact.
Yeah, I need to do it.
I think it's a bit, once you've done one or two, they're basically all the same. Because they just tell you the same things, really, about the process of making the wine, etc. So I think it's definitely worth doing once or twice. After that, it can become a little repetitive. Obviously, the tasting is always different because the wine is different. But the actual tour of the winery and explaining how they make the wine is basically more or less always the same. So I'd say, do it once at least. It's a nice experience.
Oh, I have to do that. Yeah, absolutely. Asta, thank you very much. That was really interesting going through those common mistakes, really, again, which is kind of like, I think, very useful for our audience. And I think these were definitely very, very, very common. Very common. I've heard them thousands of times, just like I'm sure you've heard them, Alistair. Yeah. I think we
covered
them
well. One more thing, very quickly,
because
you don't want to miss out. So there's one more word we have in English, which you could use probar in Spanish, but there is actually another word in Spanish which will make it clear what it means. So you have the word trial. So people often get confused. What's a trial as opposed to a test or et cetera? So a trial in Spanish would be ensayo. So you have clinical trials, ensayos médicos. So obviously when a drug company, a pharmaceutical company, they have a new drug that they want to put into the market, they have to go through extensive trials. usually animals first and then humans before they're able, obviously, to see if the drug works and it's safe and it's not dangerous, doesn't have terrible side effects. So that process is doing trials. So that's a slightly different thing. But there is another word in Spanish for that, which is ensayo. So that, I think, makes it clear exactly what that is. Yeah.
It's often actually the confusion happens, doesn't it? When you've kind of like got several words in English for that one word in Spanish or whatever it might be, right? Yeah. So maybe there's less confusion in that sort of situation, but still worth mentioning.
Still sometimes I've heard people confused with. And also there's a legal meaning of trial that we must mention, because we did talk about
proof and evidence.
No. Mm. So if you go to court, to the tribunal, no, or juzgado, then that process is a juicio in Spanish, and that is a trial. So there's two kinds of trial, like sort of medical trials, for example, scientific trials, but then there's a legal trial where you go to court, and of course they have to prove whether you're innocent or guilty.
Those are my favorite types of films, actually. They're kind of one of my favorite, where you kind of see the whole trial. I really do enjoy those types
of films. Courtroom dramas.
My
wife, she absolutely loves them as well.
I don't know. There's something about them that I just like. I suppose it's kind of the speech and the,
speeches to the jury.
Yeah, that type of stuff.
Very dramatic. No, there's some great films based on, on trials.
Okay. Alistair, thank you very much. Really amazing. I think we covered a lot of great stuff there. So thank you very much. And I will basically see you again next week, okay?
Yep. See you soon. Cheers.
All right. See you then. Bye-bye. See you.